Broadcasting live from the Vegas Video Network studios, to steps from the Las Vegas Strip.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard. Exciting news, this show is now simulcast live from Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada on KSHP AM 1400 radio. I'm joined by my good buddy, Anthony Padilla.
Yeah, I love it. It's funny, we went from video to here. You finally got us kicked off of a video network back to radio. So that's cool, though. This is a beautiful studio. Happy to be here today. We've got a lot of fun stuff going on. We've got the Final Four coming up this weekend. Brittany Griner, maybe to the NBA, maybe not. You know, and of course, the return, man. My favorite sport, Major League Baseball, is back.
Right on. Let's get started with what say you, Final Four weekend. We started with 68 teams. We're down to four teams, a three-week tournament. We have Wichita State taking on Louisville. We have Syracuse taking on the Wolverines of Michigan. It's an exciting time to be a sports bettor. It's an exciting time to be in Las Vegas. What say you?
I got to tell you, man, I'm a little concerned right now because as much as I want to be excited for this Final Four right now, with everything going on, in the realm of sports, all I'm thinking about is, okay, we have Michigan, Wichita State, you know, Louisville, these teams that Syracuse, which of these teams 5 years from now are we going to learn was in violation of something at this time? You know, like, I hate that that's what sports have come to, but it's like everything now. Go to a pro, you've got Auburn in the news, you know, with not only players getting busted for or failing pot tests, but also that players were, you know, getting paid. And now you've got all these other, you've got Rutgers situation. It's horrible. Like, I can't even enjoy the sports right now.
Well, in Las Vegas, we're looking at these two games specifically because the point spread, 10.5. Louisville, wow. You would think that a top-seeded team taking on a number 9 seed, we expected Louisville to be here. We did not expect Wichita State to be here. The fact that they're a 9 seed, they're getting 10.5 points. Syracuse, Michigan, you're looking at a 2.5 point spread with Michigan being favored.
But see, in the Wichita State game, again, there was a few teams that this was discussed prior that they got seeds that they shouldn't have. Wichita State's a good team, you know, and they've proven that they're a solid team. I don't believe that they are obviously as a 9, you're not really a Cinderella team, but you're still the closest one. But I believe that they are a much better team than a number 9 seed. So I actually see this game being close. I think Wichita State has a chance to win.
We're going to see what happens. I respectfully disagree. I guess the only question is how many points will Louisville win by? Now let's talk NBA basketball as far as what say you, because we're talking about some of these NBA coaches are resting their players late in the season. Do you agree, disagree? What say you?
I don't know, man. It's tough because, again, rest is obviously a necessary thing. You know, when you're playing a grueling schedule like that, and you can't really compare sport to sport. I mean, if you look at football, at the end of the season, you don't really want to give your starters rest unless, you know, you're up by a lot, or you're not really in it because you want those guys fresh for the playoffs, and they're only playing week to week. But that's a different physical game, obviously. You know, but if you look at baseball, it's a 162 game season. However, these guys get breaks throughout the season. And this is where I think it's interesting going to the NBA. Because if you look at Major League Baseball, on any given day throughout the season, a team is going to be resting a star player because they're going to get the occasional day off. And they are never going to get in trouble for, you know, resting somebody, getting fined $250,000 because it's a prime time game or whatever. It's just, it's part of the deal. And I think, you know, as much as I gave Popovich a hard time at that time, you know, I think it is a good strategy throughout the season to keep your players fresh. Now, I don't know why you would see. I think when you, I'm sorry, but I think if you sit three of your starters against a team like the Heat, you're doing it for more than just to give them rest. I mean, rest them against a team that's, you know.
Not only did he rest them, he sent them home.
Exactly.
That's, forget see, being on the bench.
Right, that is a whole different, that's a whole different kind of move right there. But as far as resting them goes, yes, I believe you want guys to have fresh legs. You know, if at this point in the season, doesn't matter. If you've already clinched a playoff berth, you've already clinched, you're happy with the seed that you've got, you know, and your win or loss isn't going to affect you. Yes, at this point in the game, it doesn't matter. It's more important to have fresh legs in the playoffs than, you know, another meaningless win.
So if you're a fan, you have no problem with the Miami Heat resting key players like LeBron James, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, you know what I think fans need to take a better perspective on is they don't play these games for – yes, they play these games for us, but more importantly, they're playing these games to win. You know, we as fans need to understand the game. It's not to entertain us. This isn't a movie. You know, they're not fixing it as they go, so the fans are happy. The fans should be happy with what the professional teams are doing. And if that involves the strategy of resting players to get ready for the playoffs, well, what's more important as a fan? Do you want to see your team win the championship or get to see LeBron James because you got tickets for the 81st game of the season that doesn't mean anything? You know? If you're really a fan, you wouldn't be going to that game anyway.
Great. Well said. I couldn't have said it better myself because I actually agree with you on this. I mean, hey, the Miami Heat, they've done what they've needed to do. They've wrapped up what I think is going to be the best record in all of basketball, so why not?
Sure. Absolutely. It's a again, the strategy of sports we need to take into consideration a little bit more when we watch. I think we're starting to feel too entitled to say how these things should be done on the field or on the court, you know. This is why I don't like Twitter and all this other stuff. You don't have that separation anymore. You don't have that separation between, oh my God, that's my favorite player, you know, and you wonder what their life is like. Well, now they have Twitter. You know what their life is like. But now you start to feel like a fan. I mean, you start to feel like a friend just because they retweeted you. You know, suddenly you feel like, oh, LeBron James retweeted me. Yeah, we're boys. No, you're not. He doesn't know who you are. That's how it's become, though.
Let's remind our listeners what Spin to Win is all about.
Oh, Spin to Win, that's right. You got me so caught up in this stuff with being a fan, I forgot what I am a fan of on this show. Folks, if you were just joining us, we have this wonderful little thing we call Spin to Win. In this segment, we've got two teams coming up this weekend. Tonight we have the Thunder taking on the Indiana Pacers. Pacers are favored by 2.5 in this game. What we do is we spin this lovely wheel. Scott is forced to argue for one team. I will make arguments for the opposing team because, as you know, the smart bettor always bets with their head, not with their heart. So, Scotty, this week I get to spin the wheel. Let's do it. All right, Scott, you have the Thunder.
Oklahoma City Thunder. Wow. You know what? I'm starting to think that they have the inside track to having the best record in the Western Conference. And the reason is we're talking about a team that just destroyed the San Antonio Spurs last night by 12 points, 188 the final score. Never mind that they just lost by 20 to the Spurs a couple of weeks ago. San Antonio is banged up. Oklahoma City Thunder, they went to the NBA Finals a year ago. I think come playoff time, they're going to have some problems without James Harden. But the fact is, it's a tough place to win if you're the opposing team going to Oklahoma City. But let's talk about one game, one time, the Thunder taking on the Pacers. I like the Thunder. I'm a little surprised. I mean, come on now. They're getting points on the road. They're a great team at home, but to be getting 2.5 points, as much respect as I have for the Indiana Pacers, I think it's a bit happy. I like the Thunder to win the game simply because the odds makers are telling you it's going to be a close game. And the fact that it's going to be a close game lends itself to free throw shooting. No team is better at getting to and converting from the free throw line than the Oklahoma City Thunder. The only concern is this is a back-to-back, an emotional, hard-fought win last night taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Tonight, they have to get right back to it on the road taking on the Pacers. 2.5 points is cheap. See the cashier.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do something. We're reversing roles a little bit here. I'm actually just going to go with straight betting statistics for once.
No kidding.
Just for you.
Well,
yes.
I'm
it's because I have it right
what you
in front
have to
of
say.
Me. Right. Well, listen to this. And these numbers are kind of, you know, I mean, if you don't know which way to go, you always say that you've got to go with the numbers, the statistical numbers against the spread, right? Well, the Pacers have actually won 5 in a row, including their 109-106 victory over the Clippers as 5-point road underdogs on Monday, which obviously is a big deal. Over the last 2-plus seasons, the Pacers are 3-12 against the spread as home favorites of 3 points or less. So right there, kind of would lead you to believe, you know, you might want to take the Thunder. Again, we're sitting at 2.5. Now, the Pacers are also 2-6 against the spread in their last 8 games versus teams with a winning record. So even though in this argument I am forced to take the Pacers, you know, and I understand that's why we do this, I never really take your side when it comes to this because I'm always the one that goes with the intangibles. But as we just spoke about, we're at the point of the season where something like this, I think now you start to look at numbers like this. So even though I've got the Pacers with the 2.5, I think actually the better pick money-wise would be the Thunder as well.
Interesting, because the whole idea of having this segment is to force you to be objective. A lot of times as sports bettors, we're blind. We only see one team, one number, and we blindly bet it. But we have to be able to make an argument for both teams. We never want to think in terms of being emotionally attached to a team. We have to proactively look at the numbers. What do the numbers say? And oftentimes, numbers don't lie.
That's true. And you're right. It, you know, as important as it is to give an argument for both teams, still, when it comes to betting money, sometimes in a situation like this, and again, when the line is this close, I mean, you don't want to, you know, sometimes you don't want to give too much thought where it doesn't need to be. And I think this is one of those games where I think the ticket cashing money is on the Thunder.
Think about it from the odds maker standpoint. I mean, everyone knows how good the Thunder is, yet they're getting points on the road. It goes to show how much respect we have for the home team. Again, 5-6 teams out of the entire league will have a road winning record. And then you take into consideration the fact that the Thunder played last night. They're traveling. I love this Indiana Pacer team. They're not pretty. They're not sexy. They grind it out. They're physically gifted and physically talented. They hammer the paint, and they do have a distinct home court advantage. It'll be interesting to see how this game plays out.
It will. It'll be a fun game. And this is fun. I'm loving it here, man, here at KSHP, beautiful studio, having a great time with you and then you guys that are joining us. This is very cool, as well as simulcast on the Vegas Video Network. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break. You're watching on Vegas Video Network. You're listening on KSHP 1400 AM. Come right back. We'll be here. This is The Odds Couple.
Oh, hi. I'm Kelly Clinton. That sucks. I wonder if Joan Rivers is watching.
Oh, please. Oh, my God. Who cares?
I don't have a different one. You know who watches this show? Wayne Newton.
You got that right, Kelly. I think you're absolutely beautiful and talented, young lady. 5, 6, 9, 12. Darker shade.
More camera time for me.
Hey, I wonder if Cher's watching.
Oh, please. I have so many other things to do.
Hi, I'm Kelly Clinton. I'm the host of Talk Tales, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. That was horrible.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. This is so exciting. We're being simulcast live on KSHP AM 1400 radio. This show is going to be live every Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Las Vegas time. Anthony Padilla, my co-host, will be joining me every single Friday. It's been great having him with us. To reach out to us, we would love to have you be part of the show. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we field live chat questions. And if you would also, we would love to have your voice on our show. Simply go to our site on the right-hand side, a red bar, click there, and in the middle of the page, hit the green bar, start recording. Now, if you do miss us live, no worries. Check us out on iTunes, Vegas Video Network, Roku. Again, so excited to be here. KSHP AM 1400 Radio and Vegas Video Network, a match made in heaven. Well, let's change topics because I'm talking frustration. You don't have to look far, friends, to find frustration in the world of sports, namely sports betting. Are you kidding me? Mark Cuban. Really? Are you kidding me? Mark Cuban, the billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks, has gone on record as saying that he would consider drafting a woman. Are you kidding me? As good as Brittany Griner is for Baylor University, nothing against women. I love women. But this is a man's league. The National Basketball Association, 7 billion people on the planet, 330 of the best athletes on the planet play in this league. Now, I love Brittany Griner. She's an outstanding college player. But let's look at the numbers. She's 6'8". She weighs 210 pounds, and that's where the concern is. Yes, she's a good shot blocker. Yes, she's physically gifted in the women's game. She scores. She rebounds. The women's game is played with a smaller ball. Look at a small forward. A small forward in the NBA, LeBron James, 260 pounds, is considered small. Mark Cuban, are you kidding me?
All right. It's funny. This is the first time this has ever happened. We obviously don't plan this out, but we've got the same topic. This is how big of a deal that it is. Now, forget Mark Cuban. I mean, I agree with everything you said. Brittany Griner, are you kidding me? Look, I'm insulted as a... this is such a tough subject, man, because you really get in... Once you say it out loud, suddenly people get upset. But look, when Mark Cuban said that he would consider drafting a woman, Brittany Griner tweeted and said, "I would hold my own. Let's do it." No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You would not... In the NBA... You were upset that Louisville was roughing you around. The women's basketball team of Louisville was being too rough with you. Your coach came to your defense. You were tweeting during the game previously to that at halftime. You can't get away with that in the NBA. No, this is a man's game. You can't. You're not going to be getting... You got three dunks in a college game. If you're going to play in the NBA as a woman, you better be getting 8 or 9 dunks in that women's game. As you said, the ball is smaller, and it's not like these are... I mean, you've got 6'8 Brittany Griner against 5'7 everybody else. You know, all she does is stand under the rim, catch the ball, jump up, and dunk it. It's not like it's a spectacular dunk. It's a spectacular dunk because it's a woman doing it. But in terms of the spectacularness of the dunk itself, no. She would not be able to do that in an NBA game. She'd get swatted. These are big boys, and she's going to get roughed up. I don't know why you would, as such a talented athlete, feel that, again, this is tough. There are boundaries, but you know your boundaries. But sometimes there is no such thing as anything is possible, all right? That anything is not possible when it comes to a woman playing in a man's professional league. Again, it's bad because I'm saying it out loud, folks, but you all know that we all have these same thoughts. Because physically, you just don't match up. Could you imagine Brittany Griner going up for a dunk against Dwight Howard?
I don't think Brittany could dunk the basketball if it was regulation size.
I don't either. But I'm just saying, when she says, "I would hold my own, let's do it," who are you going to hold your own with? That's what I want to know. What opposing players, who are you going to throw under the bus? I want to know what men in the NBA you're throwing under the bus that you think you could hold your own with. This isn't the courts, you know, in the streets, and you're going out to run a little game. This is the NBA.
I don't know if I have an issue with Brittany, because you have to believe in your ability. You have to...
Yeah, that's fine. This has nothing to do with believing in your ability.
She's saying bring it.
Yeah, for the men. She's saying bring it for a situation that's not going to happen. So, of course, you can say that sounds great. Go dominate the WNBA for 5 years, a couple of years. Just own that league. Make it so it's like you're bored because you're so much better than everybody else. Then... let's talk about possibly a tryout with a D-League in the NBA. Then I'll have a talk about it. But until then, just because you dominated college basketball, you lost in the tournament. You didn't even win your last game against Louisville, and you were upset. You got beat up on the court. Come on, it's absurd.
What about Mark Cuban? Do you think he's undermining the NBA, or do you think he's just an attention whore?
I think Mark Cuban is a businessman. And this goes back to what I said a couple of weeks ago, why I was upset that he was booing Derek Fisher. You think Mark Cuban is doing this for any reason other than to draw attention to his Dallas Mavericks? I mean, of course that's what he's doing. He's on Shark Tank, man. He knows what he's doing.
I guess that's why you have to love Mark Cuban. Free enterprise.
Well, hey, then put your money where your mouth is, Mark. Make sure she gets in the draft. It's not like anybody else is going to be fighting for her. You could win the championship, have the last pick in the first round. You could trade away all your picks, have the last, whatever. You're going to get her. Nobody else is going to take her, so take her.
Thanks for sharing once again, Anthony. This is the part of the show where Anthony Padilla and I put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
Here we go. Right side once again. We always like to talk about our previous week's games. And last week, winner.
Winner,
that's how
winner,
we do
chicken
it, man. That's
dinner.
What we
you
do.
You refuse to lose.
That's it. I do not. I don't know how. I am the Brittany Griner of sports picks. I mean, you put me in the betting world, that would be horrible. But I don't lose with us, man, and neither do you. I think. Oh, you lost last week, didn't you? Did you?
Thanks
lose?
For the reminder.
Right, but you were close. But I won again, and I understand you got to be careful with the streak, man. You always respect a streak. And I'm glad that this has been working out, but it's getting tougher. Again, and especially with NBA games. You know, and I don't know. If Brittany Griner was in the mix, I don't know which way I would go. I don't know how I would pick those games. But she's not. And this week, I'm going with the Grizzlies taking on the Lakers. And this is interesting. Because you have a Memphis Grizzlies team with a much better record than the Lakers looking up still, you know, trying to find a place in the playoffs just to be happy with, maybe eighth and maybe bounced altogether. You've got a game where Steve Nash has been hurt. He might be returning from a hamstring issue. Kobe Bryant is sore, you know, and he's admittedly hurt. And yet you've got a Lakers team at home who's favored by 2.5 against the Grizzlies. Now, I mean, just looking at the season, again, the Grizzlies have I don't know if they've been under the radar. We've actually talked about them quite a bit. Very solid team, solid playoff team. I think they're going to do pretty well. The Lakers, I can't wait till the season is over. Every day on every sports show, you've got nothing but where the Lakers are, and it's a constant Lakers update. And it's fighting for eighth place. I never in the history of sports have we put so much energy into a team fighting for the eighth place spot in the playoffs. And here they are at the end of the season, 2.5-point favorites at home against a much better team. And again, you've got a Lakers team that's depleted. So, I'm sorry. Regardless of the mystique of the Lakers and playing at home, and because I agree, there is more on the line for the Lakers at this point, but that doesn't matter. Memphis is still playing for something. And 2.5 points, no. The right side for me this week is the Grizzlies plus the 2.5.
I want to talk about this Memphis Grizzlies team before we get to my right side. It's amazing to me they have a very good record in spite of the fact that they traded away their best player in Rudy Gay. They have a very good coach in Lionel Hollins. I was a big Portland Trailblazer fan back in 77 when they won the NBA title with Bill Walton and Maurice Lucas and company. But the fact is, they have no bench. It's amazing to me what they've been able to do. I really feel the Memphis Grizzlies have overachieved at this point in the season. Now, they're a different team on the road, and Anthony, they're on the road for this contest, and maybe that's why they're a dog.
Yeah, I can see that. And those are some good points. And the overachieving sometimes will kind of show its wear at some point in the season or the playoffs, you know. And sometimes then you go, well, yeah, we got bounced in the first round, but we did well with what we had, and that was a respectable season. And maybe this is that point that we find out what they really are made of. But again, it's 2.5 points, and I think it's only because it's the Lakers that it's this, you know, this that they've got the points in this game. But I still think the Memphis Grizzlies are gonna come out on top.
Well, you mentioned that the Lakers really need this game to try to get into the playoffs, but the Memphis Grizzlies need it as well simply because there's such a cluster, 3, 4, 5 seeds in the Western Conference with the Clippers, the Nuggets, and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well, look,
there's a huge difference between being seeded 5th and being seeded 3rd
absolutely,
or 4th.
Absolutely, but look at the Lakers. You've got a Lakers team that every time they need a win, which has been every game this season, but every time they need a win, they either win or they somehow choke it off, you know? So I think this is going to be one of those, like the other night against Dallas. They needed that game, and it was a true testament to what this team had going forward, and they won. And I think tonight's going to be just the opposite, because every time people start to jump on the Lakers, you know, they find a way to blow it and show us who they really are.
I want to take a minute now and get to my right side as far as the Phoenix Suns are hosting the Golden State Warriors. Before I get to that, I do want to recap my play last week. ATS against the spread fell out, unlike my good buddy Anthony, who has been on a tear with a capital T. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Right.
I got the memo on the chicken dinner, just not the winner memo. But this week I'm looking at, or tonight I'm looking at the Phoenix Suns at home against the Golden State Warriors, and I the total for this game is 203. So many games in the NBA fall under 100 points, fall under 90 points per team, yet these two teams do not play, do not pretend. No one has ever accused the Golden State Warriors or the Phoenix Suns of playing defense. What I look for when betting totals, I look for free throw percentages, I look for free throw attempts, and I look for field goal attempts more than I look for field goal percentages. And when these two teams match up, I really see value in the total. It's set at 203. My right side, Red Rover, Red Rover, I love the over. See the cashier.
That's it. Wish you'd come up with the song for the under.
We should, but I just, alliteration, nothing.
I don't know that you've ever not taken the over. I think there was one week.
Actually, I'm a big under player.
I know you
player.
Are. Yeah, well, no,
I often,
no, no, no.
I've often said with sides, underdogs
sure.
are
yes,
undervalued.
You do. But all you've been lately, meaning the past few months, is this conversation. How you like to say that you like the under, but you always go with the over, Mark Cuban. You say maybe, you would draft a woman standpoint. Until it comes time, and then you go with the over. So I would like you to come up with a song for the under and force yourself to go back to your roots.
I just might do that. How cool is this, Anthony Padilla?
I love it, man.
Being simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio in Las Vegas, in addition to Vegas Video Network, world famous. I mean, this is really cool. Monday through Friday is when the show takes place, 11 o'clock to 12 noon Las Vegas time. Again, KSHP AM 1400 radio with Vegas Video Network. I'm excited as we get set now for the second half hour of this show, and we can welcome in the general manager, Brett Grant. Great to have you with us.
Guys, great to be here.
Yeah, it's nice. If we're going to talk sports for this long, we might as well add somebody to the mix that knows what they're talking about at some point.
Well, careful here.
Some of the things we'll be talking about here have to do with expanding on the Rutgers debacle, talking right. Major League Baseball, NBA basketball. Now, Brett, I understand, like myself, you're a big baseball guy.
Love the game. Grew up in St. Louis where you're weaned on Cardinal baseball and you fall in love with the game. So opening day is a national holiday where I grew up.
Yeah, in St. Louis, baseball Cardinals, that's a religion back there.
Pretty much, yes.
Now, I came here from Chicago, came here from Iowa as well in 1993, and I've joked with Anthony Padilla in the past. In Chicago, there was a standing joke that I heard on the radio one day that the lady who left her 13 kids at Wrigley Field, will you please pick them up? They're beating the Cubs 6-4 in the eighth inning.
Exactly.
I know, being from St. Louis, you probably appreciate that story.
I think
story.
The joke probably originated in St. Louis, for all I know.
Probably. Probably. No love lost between Cub fans and Cardinal
well,
fans.
Well, it's more of a, it's a feeling of empathy or sympathy for them, or a little bit of both, I guess, more than anything. You know, it's a heated rivalry, but it's not a Red Sox-Yankees rivalry where they despise each other. We can sit in the stands together, and we make fun of each other. And for the Cardinal fans, it's much easier to do than a Cub fan.
And I think a lot of that is because for the Cubs, it's a rivalry. For the Cardinals, they're like, yeah, come on in. It's a rivalry. We'll call it that.
For the Cardinals, it's a winning series.
Yeah, they just right. know they can mark right. that off on their schedule that this is cool. We're going to get 3 out of 4 these times.
Right.
Now, Brett, I know as a professional sports bettor, I love baseball because, like basketball, it's every single day. Right. Now, with you being an avid fan, does the season get to be a bit of a grind, 162 games every single day, 6 months?
Not for me, as somebody who loves the game. And obviously, it does, obviously interlap with the other sports. You've got, obviously, basketball going on. You'll have football towards the end of the year. And then your interest in baseball might wane if your team's not in a pennant race at the end of the year, and just slide over to your favorite football team and follow the NFL or college football. And for me, I used to always kind of say that I'm a big hockey fan as well, that the baseball season didn't begin until the Blues get eliminated from the playoffs. Since they either never make the playoffs or that's in the first round, baseball season starts right away anyway, so it's still okay for me anyway.
I want to talk specifics opening day was just this past week, and so many teams are optimistic going into the upcoming season. We've had a lot of teams that have really spent some big money. The Toronto Blue Jays come to mind. The Los Angeles Dodgers come to mind. But as history has proven, a big fat payroll does not equate to wins.
Well, I think the biggest thing when you look at the new playoff format as well is you've had, since they went to the wild card, 5 wild card teams have won the World Series, and only 3 teams with the best record in baseball have won the World Series. So it's about getting in as opposed to being the best and winning 100 games during the regular season. You've seen it with the Cardinals, and you've seen it with other teams, the Marlins, and teams that have gone in as a wild card with not great payrolls, and yet you've seen teams like the Angels or the Dodgers or the Yankees and the Red Sox not win titles, who do spend big bucks on the other side.
Anthony, look at the A's from a year ago, one of the lowest payrolls in all of baseball, yet they won their division, knocking off the Texas Rangers and getting into the postseason.
Yeah, I can't stress it enough, man. I played baseball my whole life, and there's a different mindset that, there's so many teams that spend that money, like he was saying, that doesn't translate to wins, and I don't understand when teams are going to learn that. Sometimes you can buy a championship, but it usually doesn't work, and usually you might get one out of it. I mean, if you do. And in baseball, it works even less, especially lately, because of the free agent markets and all the players switching teams. Like the Dodgers did this, last year. It didn't work then, and I understand because Clayton Kershaw, is the man, and he had a great game. Well, you've still got a whole lot of games to play, You know, and yeah, they're good, but there's a lot of good baseball teams out there. I am excited because I now have the MLB Extra Inning Package, which I haven't even had cable in the past 7 years, and now to add this to the mix, for the last 3 days, I was on my couch, games, sun up to sundown, except for some of the West Coast games due to blackout restrictions, which we'll get into in a little bit. That's a whole different story. But I've enjoyed watching a lot of teams. Like, it's different when you watch the highlights of games versus when you get to actually flip back and forth and watch a couple of different innings from different games. And there are a lot of good baseball teams out there right now. The Braves are ridiculously hot. The Orioles, wow, man. I've watched every game so far between them and the Rays. And the Orioles had never hit a home run off of the Rays in the history of the two teams playing, and Chris Davis alone has hit a home run in each of the first three games. It's unreal what this team is putting on the field, you know? And some of the teams that you thought were Roy Halladay, completely falling apart, man. And the Phillies aren't looking as strong as people were maybe expecting, you know, right out of the gate. So there's a lot going on very quickly. Diamondbacks, of course, that's my team. They look pretty solid right now, you know, for kind of throwing this team together. So the money, I don't believe, buys you the rings in baseball. And the Dodgers, yes, they're gonna be a good team. I think they're gonna win 90 games, 90 plus. But I don't think that they're gonna go all the way just because they, you know, they bought it.
Brett, your thoughts on the Houston Astros going from the National League to the American League, American League West now?
As a National League purist, you know, when you send your worst National League team over to the American League and then they beat the team that went to the World Series a couple years in a row on opening night, that might be the only game they win all year. You know, they're not very good, and they don't have their payroll is $25 million. Their entire team is paid less than Alex Rodriguez, who's not even going to play for the first half of the season. The Yankees' payroll is $250 million, and the Astros is actually the lineup that they put on the field on opening day was $18 million in payroll for the Houston Astros. That's amazing that they even are able to compete, and we'll see how they do. So far, only the Washington Nationals are undefeated, and only the Miami Marlins are without a win, and the Marlins might not win a game. That's a pretty bad baseball
team. That's true. They look pretty bad as
pretty
well.
Pretty bad.
And Washington looks – Bryce Harper, man, you come out and hit two home runs on opening day at 20 years old. That's amazing. Like, clearly pressure does not get to this guy. You know, there's more to be said for that than people realize. And last year it was all about, well, Mike Trout's much better. Bryce Harper's just getting the pub. Mike Trout's the future. Mike Trout. Yeah, I think Mike Trout is as good as he is billed to be. But I think Bryce Harper actually will turn out to be the better player in the long run because of his love and dedication for the game and how much he really does put into getting better every day.
Far be it for me to call out a guy who's put on a few pounds, but Mike Trout, kind of a fat cat today, Brett. He put on some weight during the offseason after being the man in the American League a year ago.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if one of these guys suffers a sophomore slump at all. And I tend to agree with you, Anthony. I think Harper is going to be terrific, and Trout as well. They're both, I think, generational players that you'll see. And 15 years from now, we might still be having the same argument. It's going to be LeBron, Kobe. And you hope they both stay healthy and both their teams are very successful, and that you'll see them match up against each other in the World Series, and you'll be able to get that interest back in baseball. So I think it is, you know, when you look at the center fielder standpoint, people say, well, you compare him to Mickey Mantle. Well, Mickey Mantle was, first of all, a switch hitter. So when you say Bryce Harper's great, he's not a switch hitter. So you can't make that comparison necessarily. But you can compare these two guys coming up as 20-year-olds, and one in the American League, one in the National League, that hopefully there's a time when these two get together in the World Series, and that'll bring a ton of interest back to baseball.
I want to talk about how this conversation relates to sports betting. It's interesting because Anthony touched on the fact that the Nationals are 3-0, but the fact is, playing a weak team like the Miami Marlins, they're favored 220, 240, 260, which means they have to be 3-0 because one time out of three, you're just a small, small moneymaker in that situation. So the odds makers recognize the fact that Miami is a bad team and the Nationals are favored, along with the Dodgers, to win the National League pennant. But I want to talk to Anthony about this because you look at the Memphis Grizzlies in pro basketball, they dumped their best player, and they also dumped their bench, yet they continued to win. We'll see how it pans out come postseason time. But look at the Marlins. They had a fire sale. They got rid of their manager, Ozzie Guillen. They dumped some key players. Reyes now playing for the Toronto Blue Jays. They dumped a lot of players. Their payroll, again, significantly less than their competition. Do you think this team is as bad as everyone makes them out to be?
Yes. I mean, look, this is the second time they've done this. They did it after they won the World Series in 97. They did the same thing, got rid of the team. I don't know why they keep putting teams in Florida. Nobody goes to the games anyway. Nobody goes to the football games. Nobody goes to the baseball games. The Tampa Bay Rays, fun team to watch, great team. And opening day, they said it was sold out. You still saw empty seats. And then just like every other stadium, the last couple of days, nothing. It's like, why are you – you have the last year's Cy Young winner on that team. You've got Evan Longoria, one of the best third basemen in the game. You know, and for some reason, he came out hot. And everybody knew who he was. He was getting commercials, you know, every possible a deal under the sun. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of fell under the radar somehow. But he's still a high-quality player, and he's fun to watch. That's a young team. They're putting a good product on the field. Tampa, why are you not going out and supporting this team? That's what I don't understand, you know. And that's why when you've got teams like the Yankees who go out and spend the money, it's kind of hard to hate on them because they also fill the stadium, and they sell the tickets. You know, and they're a draw. The Yankees on the road draw bigger crowds than those home teams do all season. You know, and there's something to be said for that. So, just like life, I mean, baseball is much like life, I feel. You've got people with money and you've got people who don't, and you've got people who are willing to do a couple extra things, and that's just kind of how it works. You know, there's always a great equalizer in baseball.
Thank you for sharing, Confucius.
Hey, that's why I'm here. Baseball is like.
Brett, in the American League, any teams stand out as far as who you like?
Well, there's a couple of teams that I think are under the radar that could be surprising. I really like what the Cleveland Indians have done with their postseason or preseason acquisitions of getting Nick Swisher, and I think that Masterson's a very good pitcher. And you saw them on opening day go into Toronto and win as a very big underdog and win in Toronto against R.A. Dickey. And I think Toronto's a team that's overvalued a lot early in the year. I mean, Josh Johnson, one of their other Miami Marlin acquisitions, will get a nod today on the mound. Going through, Mark Burley's also there as well. They got the whole team, I think, went from Miami to Toronto. They went, what happened?
Right,
the taxes just went up quite a bit as they go through. But I tell you what, when you look at Cleveland, I think they have a very good offensive lineup. And you look in that division, obviously the Tigers are the team to beat in the division. But I think they're just as good as the White Sox and might be able to steal a wild card. Because I think the A's might bounce back a little bit from their year a year ago. You expect the Rangers and the Angels to be very good. But I think if I had to pick a surprise team, I like the Indians.
Interesting, because you touched on the fact that a lot of the Miami players ended up in Toronto. Last year, going into the season, no team was more hyped than the Miami Marlins.
Right. Well, I think
this year, in the American League, right, Toronto is projected to come out.
Well, I think last year was the new stadium. It was Miami, the new uniforms. It was Mardi Gras. You had to adjust your TV set, go, what in the world are they wearing? Going through, and it didn't work out. I mean, Ozzie Guillen made compliments to Castro. He immediately got himself in trouble. The team didn't perform on the field. They had injuries. And the ownership group said, you know what, we're going to start over. And they shipped everybody off to Toronto. But, yeah, a lot of times when you get those high expectations on you, teams don't respond very well. And I have never really been a monster fan of R.A. Dickey. I watched him last year, and there was no expectations on the Mets and thus none on him. Then you saw him in the World Baseball Classic. He didn't perform very well in that spot. And now in Toronto, where everybody's expecting the Blue Jays to suddenly be the Orioles from a year ago, and I think it showed. There's a little crack in the armor, although they have a very good offense. If Batista and Encarnacion and those guys stay healthy, they'll be right there. But I don't see them being a 100-plus win team or 95-win team myself.
Interesting with Dickey making the move from New York, playing for the Mets, an outdoor team, going to a controlled environment in Toronto, knuckleball pitcher. Right. A lot of people, me included, thought, wow, this guy, this is a match made in heaven because he's going to get so much controlled movement on that. But his opening day, he got rocked by Cleveland.
Well, I think the one thing that nobody's really talked about is the fact that the American League's been seeing lots of knuckleballers over there. Tim Wakefield was a knuckleballer that was all over the American League for a decade. So seeing R.A. Dickey in the American League is nothing new to them. But in the National League, there wasn't a lot of knuckleball guys for a long time in the National League, and people treated him like he was suddenly Phil Niekro after basically 1 year. I mean, he's 35, 37 years old, right?
Right, 37.
37. And it's not like he's been doing this successfully for 15 years. He's a lifelong minor league guy who's had a bust-out year a year ago and won the Cy Young Award. But at the same time, I don't see a 5 to 10 year history of achievement from R.A. Dickey in the major leagues. Do you?
I don't. I really don't. And I mean, again, time will tell. I want to slide on over and engage Anthony Padilla, because I'm looking at American League Baseball. The odds makers have Toronto, Detroit and the Angels battling it out as based on future odds for the American League pennant. Do you see any team outside of those three that could potentially challenge?
Yeah, as I mentioned, the Rays. I really think the Orioles, I think, are going to be a surprise. I don't know if it's a surprise, though. I mean, they were a great team last year, and so is it a surprise? Because they haven't changed much, but based on what the odds makers have put, I think the Orioles have a real legitimate shot at doing something big. Those two teams, definitely, the Orioles and the Rays.
I think that's a concern because only one or two teams could come out of that division. That's why the Tigers, the team that made it a year ago and lost to the Giants in the World Series, they're in a weak division. Whereas in the American League East, the Yankees are a bit past it, a bit old. They're also banged up. But you look at Baltimore, you look at Tampa Bay, you look at Toronto, only one or two teams will come out of there where we all pretty much have an idea that the Tigers, excluding a major injury or 10, will probably come out of the Central. There's a big difference right there based on competition day in, day out.
Yeah, you didn't mention the Red Sox, who obviously had a horrible year a year ago, and they had a lot of health issues. And if they're a team that stays healthy, you know they're going to be competitive. And there's not necessarily a bad team in that division where you look in the Central, you can say, well, yeah, obviously there's still Kansas City and Minnesota that are teams that will be well below 500 going there. It'll be interesting to see where the two wildcard teams come from. If it'll be, you know, either the Angels or the Tigers or the A's, or will a team like Cleveland or Baltimore or Toronto or Tampa be able to, you know, that's the one nice thing that I think under the Bud Selig era of the wild card is it does create a lot more interest late in the year of these teams that are still involved in a pennant race or involved in getting in. And you've seen that magical year of 2011 on that last day of the season where the Red Sox blew the lead, the Phillies blew a lead, the Cardinals beat the Astros, the Cardinals made it in, the Rays made it in, the Red Sox didn't get in, and the Cardinals went on to win the World Series, and they weren't going to be in the playoffs unless the Atlanta Braves lost to the Phillies in that final game. And then, of course, they matched up with the Phillies and then thanked the Phillies by beating them in the opening round of the playoffs. And even last year, another wild card team was a game away from going to the World Series. There's some things about the postseason I don't like. With, for example, the team with the best record in the divisional round having to start on the road, I think is a ridiculous idea that needs to change immediately. But it is a crapshoot. It's just get in and get hot, and you can see what happens.
Well, and you know what's funny is with that, talking about the wild card, the end of the season, blowing a lead in a game late in the season, that is what makes the middle of the season for me. And look, I'm a huge baseball fan, so I'm always going to argue why every game is fun to watch. But that's why, you know, game number 87, somewhere in the middle of the season, counts just as much as game 158. Because when you're at the end and you're a game out, you know, and you cough up a lead and then you lose and now you're sitting two games back. Well, if you go back just before the All-Star break where you gave up two games, you know, if you win those two games, you're actually sitting a game in front at the end of the season instead of a game back. So every game is important. And I think that's what makes it fun to watch, to see these guys go through the grind, you know, of that long season and see what they do, you know, sometime around July.
It's very impressive. I do want to remind our listeners that you're listening to The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. For our KSHP AM 1400 listeners, check us out on video, and you'll agree that I have a radio face. So check it out, Vegas Video.
My father's been telling me that forever. You have a face.
See, even his father agrees that you've got a radio face, Scott.
Word gets around. What can I say? Scott Pritchard alongside Anthony Padilla and Brett Grant. We want to field live chat questions on Vegas Video Network. We also would like to field radio questions. So Radioland people in Las Vegas, feel free to reach out 221-7283, 221-7283 if you have a sports betting question, a sports question in general, be more than happy to address that. I do want to touch on the fact that I believe it was you, Brett, talking about the format last year. I think that was a one and done. I don't think that if you win the division that you're going to be starting on the road going forward, which is the right thing to do, because last year I felt somewhat bad for the, I mean, you look at the, I guess to better illustrate your point, Anthony, it's a long season. Every game is magnified because the Texas Rangers were in first place practically the entire season a year ago. And yet, the last game of the season, they lost to the Oakland A's and lost the division.
And then they had to go on the road and go into that wild card game, that one and done wild card situation. But if you look at the top four seeds from a year ago, only the Yankees, which was one of the top four seeds, advanced. The Reds were the other. They lost to the Giants. After the Reds won the first two games in San Francisco, the Giants came back and won all three games in Cincinnati. So in that instance, the home team never won a game going through. But it was, you know, the Cardinals were the other team that went and won their opening round series against, I forget who they even beat last year in that spot. They beat the Braves in the wild card game, and then they went and... whoever won the American League, the Nationals. They beat the Washington Nationals.
Right.
And the Nationals had a start in St. Louis, and they split those opening two games, and the Cardinals won two out of three in Washington. So, I think there should be more of an, if you're going to do a shorter series, I understand why they do a shorter series, but there should be, I think, more account for the 162-game regular season, that the team that is the home team should get a more significant advantage. If you're going to play a five-game series, I'm not opposed to saying, you know what, I won 100 games during the regular season. Let's reward that team with four out of the five games potentially in their home ballpark and only one game in the visitor's ballpark. There's a difference, a sizable advantage for the team that won their division versus the team that got in on the last day.
I couldn't agree more, because otherwise why have a regular season? Because why would you reward negative behavior? I remember even NBA playoffs. I mean, it's best of seven, 2-2, 1-1-1 format.
Right.
But when you get to the NBA Finals, it's a 2-3-2 format. The late, great Chick Hearn told me, man-to-man, face-to-face, why that's the case, because the networks want to encourage at least a six-game series. But that's not fair to the team that, again, if it's a 2-3-2 format in the NBA Finals, that basically means the underdog, the team with the lesser record, is guaranteed that all their home games will get played.
Right.
Whereas game 6-7, it only comes into play if it goes that far.
And there's a revenue situation for the home team that's not getting their home games that we hadn't talked about. That's a good point.
Interesting. Well, this is the Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network, simulcast live on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Keep those questions coming, 221-7283. Don't be shy. Now step up. I love live chat questions, too. I love seeing my good buddy Anthony struggle answering live chat questions. He never seems to struggle answering my questions.
Yeah, well, I think we've all heard your questions.
Well, I want to talk to you, Anthony, about college athletics. And should some of these amateur athletes be paid?
You know, this topic always comes up at this time of year. You know, you've got the tournament going on. It comes up around bowl season as well. And I always felt growing up that if you were a college athlete, you know, you were working towards that payday. It's a lot like working somewhere. But you really can't compare it to anything in the job world, because if you're working in a company, working your way up, the only thing you could compare it to is an internship, because you're not getting paid and you're just hoping to land a spot with that company. But there's a big difference, because when you're an intern, there's probably not a shot of you blowing out your knee or getting hurt and going further and pursuing that. There's a lot of people who play college athletics at the highest level very successfully and then don't go on to become pro athletes for whatever reason. Now, if you choose not to do that, so be it. But a lot of guys and girls, they do get hurt, and they're not able to go on. You know, yes, I think there should be compensation because of the fact. All right, and let's get this out of the way. I don't care about all the arguments from, you know, bands and cheerleading. And look, college athletics sell tickets. They bring revenue to the university. That's what it's all about. Universities are a business. If it weren't a business, you'd be going to school for free. If they really cared about education, it'd be free education. You wouldn't be paying $40,000 a year for that education they care so much about. So athletes are bringing money into that institution. Hey, once the chess team starts bringing revenue in, great, start paying them too. But until that happens, it's just chess, all right? Kevin Ware. This is how big of an impact this has. Kevin Ware of Louisville went down with one of the most gruesome injuries in sports I've ever seen. It's absurd. If you haven't seen the video, don't watch it, because it's horrific to watch. But already, going into this Final Four game, Adidas has come out with a t-shirt that says, you know what, I'm going to have to look this up. I don't remember.
Rise to the occasion.
Rise to the occasion, thank you. And
which
they
is
replaced...
what Louisville's slogan has been all year,
yes.
Has been rise to the
yeah.
occasion.
And so that, and then, of course, that works out, right? So, and then they replace the S with a 5, and they put a 5 on the back. Okay, so now you're going to make shirts to bring Adidas revenue off of this kid's injury. Now, his medical bills are being taken care of by the university probably and whatnot anyway, but that's not the point. That's a lot of money for these shirts that are going to, you know, Adidas is going to be making. Adidas put out these new uniforms, which are ugly. I don't like them. The ones that are like the throwback, the Zubas, you know, and they put them on five different teams, and Louisville's still in, and they've got them. And who's reaping those benefits? The university and Adidas, but not the people who are actually doing the work. You know, and for the college athlete that goes on to play 20 years in the NBA, whatever, great. But what about the guys on that same championship team who did just as much, and then they go on and then they have to struggle their first 5 years out of college, you know, trying to land a regular job? Unfortunately, this is what college athletics have become. It is a business. It's a multi-million dollar business, and they deserve absolutely a piece of the pie. Now, you don't necessarily – there's creative ways to do it. You know, these guys don't have time to get a job, so you don't necessarily have to hand them a paycheck. But because they don't have time to work, there's other ways of doing it. Maybe there's an account you could put money into. There's ways to be creative about paying these athletes.
You're an 18-year-old kid, Anthony Padilla. You're an athlete. College sports, amateurs, all right? You're getting a scholarship, $40,000 to $60,000 a year. There's your $160,000 to $200,000 payday. How about a free education? Does that not merit?
No, because let's be honest. I am not one that believes in the value of education just for the degree. I mean, come on. Let's look at these guys. How many of them use their degree later in life? So that free education, where is it being used? They go into broadcasting. They go into sports. They never go into whatever it was that they got their degree in, so it doesn't matter. And that's great, $40,000 a year, that's what, okay. So if their education roughly costs $300,000 over 4 years, that team might be bringing in millions over that 4 years. So no, that does not equate.
Brett, your thoughts?
Well, it is a double-edged sword. And the other issue is you have very rich athletic programs versus not very rich athletic programs. Take a university like Ohio State, and you compare them to a university like Villanova. And you're saying, okay, how much money can I pay at Ohio State versus what I could pay at Villanova? Even though both have very good basketball programs, is it the same for every athlete across? And then what about the diving team and the golf team? And is it every athlete or just football and basketball? Because those are the two sports that bring in the money. They're the only two sports that bring in the money for the vast majority of the schools, but they're not the vast majority of the athletes on the campus necessarily. There's, for every 100 football players, there's 100 female athletes on the other side of it. And then, so what do you do with them? And
look, then, I don't wonder, why do we keep trying to make life fair for everybody until they become adults? You know, everything has to be fair, level playing field. Oh, we don't want our little kids to win and lose because we don't want them to get hurt feelings. You know, then they get older. Well, we don't want everybody to get paid because, you know, we can't pay everybody the same. Well, now you're an adult. The day you graduate, the day you're done with school, boom, done. Now you go into the world of life isn't fair, and some people get paid more and some people get paid less. Scott, I make a lot more money doing this show than you do, and you didn't even realize that.
You're
obviously,
right.
That's not
just
true.
Aren't fair.
free is free. But look, life isn't fair. So yeah, absolutely. If the college football team is bringing, we just talked about it. The A's don't have the same revenue right. as the Yankees. There's players on the A's that are making far less money, and that's just how life works.
Well, I think there's one other thing that the professional leagues are actually a symptom of this as well, because of the fact in college football or high school football, you're not allowed to go into the NFL until you're 3 years removed from your high school. In the NBA, you have to go to college for a year. If you happen to be a great baseball player, you can be drafted out of high school. But if you choose to go to college, you're not allowed to go into the major league entry draft again for 3 more years. There either has to be, you can go right into the pros and forget about this stuff, you know, hang out in college for a year like Kentucky basketball players do, and they're gone. And I don't begrudge them for making the money, because obviously if I invent something and I'm 18 years old, I can go and make a gazillion dollars in 2 seconds. Or you say, you know what, if you come to college, you're here for college, and you're not going to be eligible in the draft at all until you finish your third year at the colleges. Because if you compare college basketball today to college basketball in 1982 or 1983, when you had Michael Jordan, James Worthy, Ralph Sampson, and those guys all there for 4 years, and if you watch the Jimmy Valvano special on 30 for 30, there was a great line by Roy Williams. If you didn't like that guy as a freshman, he was still there as a sophomore. He was still there as a junior. He was still there as a senior, and you created these great rivalries where now it is a revolving door. Either they're all in or they're all out. One or the other, to me, I think it'd be better for college sports. You'd have kids in college that want to be in college versus kids who want to go into the, and play in the NBA.
And let them go. I mean, look at football. You know, I hate the argument of, well, if you got a guy that gets hurt in college, you're also taking that same risk. What if he goes to the NFL and gets hurt his first year and doesn't have an education? Look, when I was in college, when I was in junior college, there were 70-year-old women taking classes. All right, so you can always go back to school, but you don't always have the opportunity to play at the highest level. You know, and if the injury happens, if that career-ending injury happens because you go to the NFL and then you get hurt your first season, you've got a lot more that you attained already financially than if you get that injury in college. You get hurt in college, you're done. You're never going to see an NFL contract.
You might have $1 million in the bank already. That's
for sure. How many of those 70-year-old ladies that were taking classes at the university,
they're all better off than me than
right
now.
Did you actually date?
Well, I think there were two, actually. And that was just because one was newly single. And
the other one worked at the cafeteria and got free food.
Yeah.
The one last topic I would like to address, because everyone's talking about it, is Rutgers University. Some guy in trouble for throwing basketballs and verbally and physically abusing his players. Is it possible we're all being a little too sensitive?
No. not if you've seen the video. I mean, you can't. That's it. Just go to the video. That's it. Like, Bobby Knight has nothing on Mike Rice. Like, Bobby Knight looks tame now. Throwing chairs is one thing. Physically pushing the player, I mean, the way that he was doing it.
What happened to anger management as opposed to firing or being forced to resign?
Well, they
just
did
an option.
They tried that with this guy. They suspended him, and they fined him, and they made him go to anger management classes. And then the video came out as they went through. And obviously, if you saw the video, the assistant coach was doing the same thing. Now, if these cameras were around when Jackie Sherrill was coaching or Bear Bryant was coaching or some other football coaches were coaching, they wouldn't have the careers they have today either. Bobby Knight, yeah, you're right. It makes him look like a kitten. But from people I know, the Neil Reed incident was a lot more than what went on. And Neil Reed, of course, ended up passing away a couple of years ago. And a lot of it was the way he was treated by the basketball coach. The amazing thing to me, and today in 2012, when this all kind of came out, and now obviously coming to light here in 2013, but this happened in November, these kids are 6'8", 240 pounds. They're 6'9". None of them are pushing back. None of them are throwing the ball back at the coach. None of them are tweeting about this. None of them are talking about it to their parents. Nobody's doing anything about it. How are these kids silent is going on?
I think one of the kids that came to his defense made it kind of shined a little light on how athletes feel. They're scared for their college life in terms of they don't want to get kicked off the team. They don't feel probably that they have a voice to say, hey, we're going to take a stand and we're going to do something, because they don't know that anybody's got their back. But as far as anger management, Scott, you don't know. I mean, the things that he was saying, if you don't know that those things are wrong, then, I mean, you don't belong. Nothing's going to help you. You don't belong there. You yell at me all the time. It's not helping you.
How's your self-esteem?
You see? I'm wearing a peach shirt. How good can it be?
This has been a super exciting show. Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant and Anthony Padilla. We're going live Monday through Friday from 11 o'clock Las Vegas time till 12 noon. This was the first episode. My good buddy, co-host Anthony Padilla, will be joining us each and every Friday. And this show is broadcast on KSHP AM 1400. It's also simulcast on the Vegas Video Network, which is world famous. So listeners to KSHP AM 1400, check out the video. The shows are archived on PritchardsPicks.com. Anthony Padilla is performing tonight in Prim. Tomorrow night, I'm performing in Las Vegas on the Strip, Bally's LA Comedy Club. For Anthony Padilla,
Scott, real quick,
and Brett Grant.
Scott, I would like to invite everybody out there, if they are listening, because it is today, come out to the Tony Sacca Variety Show at the LVH in the same room that I perform my show. 4 to 5, we'll be taping.
Good luck. I'll be
Thank
there.
You.
KSHP North Las Vegas.